time now for our weekly chat with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins. Brad joining us today from East Wenatchee, his home there, as most of the session, again, will be conducted via remote processes this year. Going to talk to Brad today about U.S. Highway 2. This is something that we have chatted with a little bit already with Leavenworth Mayor Carl Florey about. We'll get some more information from Brad on it this morning. A study being conducted for improvements along that corridor, U.S. Highway 2 from the west side over to the Wenatchee portion of it, and also be talking about just the second week of sessions in general. It's a busy time for legislators. And Brad, I appreciate the time very much. Thanks.
Good morning, Chris. Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, and good to be with the Hometown Voice. So thanks for having me.
You betcha. So you're certainly one of our Hometown Voices as well in Olympia, Brad. And let's talk, we want to talk a lot about that U.S. Highway 2 corridor study that is being looked at, because, you know, it's a road that, you know, obviously it sees a ton of traffic, and it's over a mountainous stretch for most of it. And, you know, it's really, you know, driving the state as much as I do and have over the years, it's a place where you know, you can obviously see some of the differences that have been made, especially with the volumes of traffic. Some of those wait times during the summer on weekends and whatnot are just crazy. So what's going on with this study, and what's it looking to do exactly?
Well, so, you know, I've had conversations in recent years with Leavenworth Mayor Carl Florey about, you know, the traffic challenges in Leavenworth and just how, you know, this community is able to support the massive volume of tourists that we're thankful that visit. But also, you know, as the 12th Legislative District looks to expand with the redistricting, which will likely be proposed soon, the Highway 2 corridor is going to be a major part of the new 12th Legislative District all the way to Monroe. And so I got contacted by the mayor of Sultan and the city council. I met with them. I've been communicating with the mayor of Monroe and other people there. And they also have significant concerns, and traffic backs up at sometimes, like on a Sunday afternoon, 15 to 20 miles. And you have, you know, like you said, a huge volume of traffic, people moving from west to east, oftentimes to recreate, RVs, you know, cars with kayaks strapped on top. It's just a real challenge, and it does appear as if the Highway 2 corridor has been a bit overlooked in terms of improvements. And I don't know if that's because it stretches across multiple legislative districts, but you know, there are some significant safety and traffic flow challenges that we need to address. And sometimes, as we know, I-90 Snoqualmie Pass is closed, so then Highway 2 ends up being the alternative route, and it just cannot support and sustain this high volume of traffic. And I'm very concerned about it, and it's very windy and curvy, and you know, especially in winter or at any times of the year, it's very dangerous. So I proposed this bill, Senate Bill 5603, that would propose that the DOT complete an extensive corridor study to identify potential improvements, new projects, new maintenance and preservation needs, and then get this information back to the legislature by the end of this year. And timing for that is important, because I believe next year the legislature is likely to be developing its next large-scale, long-term, statewide transportation investment package.
Yeah, Brad, it's a stretch of road, too, that I would think in some places is going to be pretty difficult to expand. You know, you look at the terrain that it's over, and some of it's, you know, it's a beautiful stretch, I think, about between Skycomish and Index, for example, where you go underneath sort of the canopy of trees there. But that means that there's forested areas on the sides of the road, which are two-lane configurations in a lot of places, so you'd have to widen that maybe. I mean, again, this looks like a project that could expand in perhaps even exponentially in some ways, so that there's sort of always could be improvements made to this no matter what. But this is a good foundation, a good starting block. Sometimes projects like this don't see their way through to the finish line, or it doesn't seem like much gets done as far as literal rubber hitting the road with improvements. So what is the next step you're hoping for in the process after the study is conducted?
Well, that's really been the challenge, you know. The other legislators have told me, some of the long-timers, that, gosh, I remember hearing from about Highway 2 from some of the Snohomish County legislators 20 years ago. And what happens is we approve a transportation budget every couple of years, but the funding for new major projects and maintenance and preservation activities, a lot of that occurs based on these large scale transportation packages that get approved and then scheduled out for the next 10 or 15 years. So really, timing is everything. I think, you know, we really need to complete this study this year so we can move ahead. And it's not like I'm reinventing the wheel. There have been some segments of the corridor that have been studied. So just recently, the Chelan-Douglas Transportation Council locally has identified some improvements between Cashmere and Coles Corner near Lake Wenatchee. The city of Sultan has hired an engineering and transportation analysis firm that has done extensive work, and they have a comprehensive report with a series of four different proposed alternatives, and they're working through with their community right now. So they're in the Snohomish County Economic Alliance, they've identified some improvements too. So I'm hoping, let's not reinvent the wheel. Let's kind of encourage WASDOT to collect this information from the different communities, outreach to them, develop cost estimates. So I'm kind of prepared to take action. The bill itself could either advance separately as a bill or be rolled into the transportation budget. But we had a really high number of people that testified yesterday before the Transportation Committee. And what I'm excited about is now as a member of the Transportation Committee in the Senate, bringing this issue up, putting the spotlight on it, you know, raising awareness. And I highlighted some of the proposals that have already been identified, one of which, for example, which I think is a great idea, is a pedestrian undercrossing in Leavenworth, near right around where Cashmere Valley Bank is with the U.S. Forest Service buildings there, an undercrossing just for pedestrians under Highway 2. It's, you know, Leavenworth is unique in a lot of these communities. Highway 2 splits right down the middle. Well, if you do that pedestrian undercrossing, sometimes thousands of pedestrians, hundreds and sometimes thousands of pedestrians can safely cross underneath Highway 2 there in Leavenworth to access the downtown. And then that would also improve traffic flow along Highway 2 through Leavenworth, so you wouldn't have these slowdowns and backups. That's just one idea. There's a traffic circle identified near the Icicle Road, near that Family Fun Center, where likely there could be some more expansion of other activities in Leavenworth. And then, like I said, Sultan has come up with some widening projects and either traffic circles or turn lanes. I mean, some of the members of the communities there have expressed that it takes them 2 hours to go 1 mile to the grocery store on a Sunday when it seems like half the state is traveling back to Western Washington. So we have some real challenges with that. And like I said, if we want to look at securing some opportunities and making some improvements for the next 10 years, I think the real opportunity is this year to identify all the improvements, because next year we have a new transportation committee chair right now. The next year will be a longer session. It'll be following these state house elections and all these things. So I think the real big opportunity is next year. And I just want to make sure I'm at the table for our district, well-positioned to advocate for our fair share of projects, you know, when that time comes.
12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins with us today here on the Coho Morning Show. Brad with us on every Tuesday during the legislative sessions right around 7:25 as part of the program, talking to us about things like this, the U.S. Highway 2 corridor study. So, Brad, we'll keep tabs on this with you throughout the course of the sessions and hope that it gains some traction so that eventually it will help those getting a literal foothold on the roadways here in the future. I know the problems you've alluded to on the west side. I've been a part of those before just as a commuter through that area, not living there, and I can only imagine what it's like for those people. So perhaps, again, there's a silver lining in some of this new representation as far as geography is concerned for us here in the 12th District as well. Brad, let's talk real quickly, too, just in general about week two of the sessions. They're here, and lawmakers obviously super busy. We're running a story this morning about budgets related to climate change and around things that are impacting the environment. A lot of Western states getting involved with spending some of the money that's come in from pandemic aid federally and otherwise. Tax revenues apparently are a little better than was originally expected during the pandemic. Right. So what's happening in week two of the sessions that's going to take the biggest features, do you think?
Well, fast and furious. Right now, we're mostly in committee activity, and bills are just beginning to be heard and advanced out of committee. We'll probably be in committee for another week or two. We'll transition to mostly Senate floor action after that. We have three budgets that we've already approved last April for the two-year period, operating, capital, and transportation. Normally, in a short session, we'd expect modest adjustments to those budgets, but like you said, revenues are up, not just because of federal support, but also the economy in our state, despite the pandemic, continues to do well. So the operating budget revenues are way up, and it just remains to be seen kind of what the bigger priorities are going to be for making adjustments to those. I think it would be prudent to build up our state's reserves, too, before we hit an economic downturn and then have to slash the budget significantly to balance. So I think we should be prudent with those revenues, but that's going to be an issue. That's going to be a major topic of discussion. Big issues like adjustments to the recently approved police reform laws, whether we can make those less bad and more workable, what we're going to do with the Washington CARES Act, the long-term care tax that the governor has put a pause on because there's a lot of challenges in implementing that. You know, there's some major issues still out there, but hopefully we can get it all done in the next month and a half, but it's going to be a push.
Yeah, no, I was talking with Keith Gaynor about this last week, Brad, and I guess I'll run the same question by you real quick as we finish out here. It seems like a lot of the focus, at least that the immediate attention is getting, is on work that needs to be sort of retooled or redone, you know, things that are needing fixing from last year's sessions or previous sessions. So that's got to be, you know, it's part of the process, obviously, is to tweak these things and make sure that they work for the citizens of Washington State. But at the same time, that has to also be kind of frustrating because there's so much new that we want to try and put on the books. Things like this transportation study over US-2 you talked to us about this morning. It's got to be a little frustrating. You have to go back and work on items from the past, tweaking things when we've got so many new things that we want to try and implement as well.
It is, exactly. And I just think we should be, you know, we should learn from that as a legislative body and try to be more thoughtful and more deliberative when it comes to passing, you know, some of these laws. The legislature overall was very ambitious last year during the short session. You spoke about climate, and I heard you report on it earlier this morning. There was a major climate cap and invest bill that passed last legislative session. The capital gains income tax and some of these other, there was a lot that was pushed through last year, and some of us were kind of throwing up red flags, like some of this isn't quite workable, you know, especially when it comes to long-term care tax or some of these police reforms. And now, after some of the community outcry, we're beginning to hear that and then needing to fix it. So hopefully we'll, you know, especially those in the majority and kind of moving the legislative priorities right now, we'll kind of learn from this and maybe go a little slower, try to be more deliberative. But the challenge really is, especially in a short session, the state constitution restricts us to the 60 days. Kind of, we're still stuck in the, we're all working on the farm and then we go to the legislature to kind of take care of business and then go back to the farm. But the reality is we the size and scope of the state budget and all the challenges, it's getting increasingly more difficult to squeeze in all the work that needs to be done in these 60 days. And so we probably need to go a little slower and be patient with more things. And I hope this is a lesson learned, really.
Brad, one other thing, and this might seem a bit radical, but you know, it feels like we're inching closer and closer to this. I'm sure you've heard about the residents who have all gone to polls in Eastern Oregon and have voted unanimously, overwhelmingly, to try and become a part of the state of Idaho, feeling like they are more in line with the way Idaho does business than the way that the rest of Oregon does business. Now, we've had this divide in Washington State politically and otherwise. There's so many that you can look at that are literal between west and east of the Cascades. And I just wonder, you know, if things like this redistricting process we saw shake out, which included some pretty radical changes, and then we talk about things like I just alluded to down in Oregon with the Idaho situation, Do you feel like we're getting closer all the time to seeing an eventual split of East and West Washington at some point as far as a state jurisdiction? I know, again, that sounds extreme, but it's been talked about for years, and it just seems like maybe what we've gone through with the pandemic and just our changing times are pushing us closer to that at some point.
Boy, I'm afraid that might be the case, just because, you know, the national divide has really is now beginning to creep into state politics. I've always put public service before politics in everything I've done, but I am becoming increasingly concerned. It's difficult to identify whether it's just a trend, whether it's like an isolated situation or just a trend. But when it comes to splitting off Eastern Washington, I can understand why people want to be associated philosophically with like-minded people. But, you know, there are some big issues to consider with that. For example, the central and eastern Washington geography is really large, and we have a number of transportation needs in that area. We have massive wildfires. There are, you know, most of the tax generation in our state really occurs in western Washington. So if you have that much area to cover, that much natural resource obligations and traffic infrastructure needs, and you don't have a tax base to really fund those needs, that's going to be a challenge. I also think about higher education institutions and some of the other, you know, uniqueness of so much identified in Western Washington for higher education, and how we could, you know, support everyone here in Central and Eastern Washington. So with the wildfire concerns and other challenges, I think, you know, people, again, would, beyond just wanting to, you know, be associated philosophically with people that are more like-minded, I think, you know, the actual implementation of some of those things and being able to provide for the residents of Eastern Washington, you know, would be a challenge under that proposal. But I can definitely understand why it's gaining momentum. And I think, you know, all those things are something we should be willing to consider, just because I think people have expressed an interest to want us to consider those things. There actually have been bills proposed to create a Liberty State in Washington State. And so I serve on the state government committee. I haven't seen those yet, but it would certainly make for an interesting hearing.
Yeah, there's still some folks, I think, that run the little yard signs that say Liberty or Liberty State on them in places that I know about in rural parts of the state as well, where I go driving often. So interesting stuff. We'll keep tabs on that, obviously, on a bigger level, but also certainly take a bigger focus on some of the things specifically happening during the legislative sessions for 2022 with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins, as he joins us on Tuesdays every week here on the program during those sessions right around this time at 7:25. Brad, I appreciate the time. Stay well. We'll talk next week.
Likewise, Chris. Thanks so much. Look forward to it.